All is good. Today's daf is Megillah daf Chaf Zayin. Apologies for not being able to record the last couple of days. I had a lot of crazy stuff going on at the seminary, Baruch Hashem. And then next week, Mitzvah Hashem, I'm going to be traveling, so I probably won't be able to record much through the end of Megillah. But Mitzvah Hashem will be zocher to start Moed Katan together. Probably, I would imagine, the next time we have a recording. But either way, we're here at the bottom of Chaf Vav Amud Beis. Amar of Papi, Mishmeid to Rebbe. We're going to say Mishmeid should be Rava, right? It says should be Rava. Anyway, we've been talking about trading things and selling things to upgrade Kedusha, right, back and forth. So you have another one of those shailas, right? We said what's the deal? Mibei Knishta lebei Mirabanan. What's the deal with selling a shul to make it into a Beis Medrash? So that's Shari. That's for sure. Mutter. But when Bira bought the Beis Knishta and to sell the Beis Medrash to turn into the shul, so then also that is not mutter. Again, Malam Hakodesh Malam Aridin, right? Again, apparently, clearly, the Gemara puts the Beis Medrash, the learning Torah, right, at the higher level of the davening. That's according to Rav Papi. For Rav Papa, Mishmeder Rava Masni, Ibcha, he taught the opposite, meaning we have two statements in the name of Rava, one from Rav Papi, one from Rav Papa, right? The question is, what is more chashuv, that davening or learning? And depending on what you say, right, it'll depend on whether you can sell a shul for a Beis Medrash or sell a Beis Medrash for a shul. Or even to change it around. The Pasha says that they were talking about selling beforehand, but okay, either way. So Amar Vacha Kavase, the Rav Papi Miss Davra, right? It makes a lot more sense. The Rav Papi, who said that that learning is more chashuv than davening, that makes more sense. Amar Shuvan Levi, basic Knesset, Mutar Lassus, basic Medrash, Shema Minas. Because clearly we have a statement from Shuvan Levi, right? There you go. That a shul, you're allowed to turn it into a base Medrash, and therefore the opposite is no good. Okay, fine. Darish bar kapara, or bar kafra, right? Either way, Darish and the following pasuk. What does it mean when the pasuk says, "Vayisrov es beis Hashem, v'es beis hamelech, v'es kol bati Yerushalayim, v'es kol beis hagadol, saraf ba'esh"? All that stuff was burned, right? That's not in the time of the right. Obviously, destroyed the second beis hamikdash. The first beis hamikdash, rather, by Nebuchadnezzar. So they burned all those things. So what are those things? So the Gemara says, Beis Hashem, obviously that's the Beis Hamikdash. Is that Beis Hamikdash? Beis Hamelech, what's the house of the king? Elu Paltrin Shal Melech, that's the palace. Right? It's called Bati Yerushalayim Kimashman, right? Obviously the houses in Yerushalayim, that's what it is talking about, right? That's Pashut. And if it's called Beis HaGadol, Sharaf Ba'esh, what's the Beis HaGadol? Every big house. So Rabbi Yochanan, Rishu Ben Levi, Chad Amar Mokam Shemagadlan Batorah, but Chad Amar Mokam Shemagadlan Bot Tfilah. Right, either Beis HaMedrash or Beis HaKnesses. Mad Amar Torah, according to the one who says it was a Beis HaMedrash, Tichti, was a Pazik Seder, Shem Chavei Samadzikol, Yidil Torah V'yadir. Right, Yag Dil Torah, that the Torah is great. Mad Amar Tfilah, according to the one who says it's a Beis HaKnesses, so Tichti of Sefer Na HaGdolos Asher Asa Elisha, tell us about the great things that Elisha did. Right, Elisha David Barach Mehu David. Right, Elisha always did his stuff with davening. Okay, and then Gemara just lines up that the son of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, right? As we just saw before, right, it makes sense that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is the one who the Amar Makom Shem Gadol B'Torah. That Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says that the Beis Gadol, right, is talking about the Beis Medrash. The Amar Yeshua ben Levi, right, as we just saw before, right, a Beis Knesset is much less so Beis Medrash. Shema Minah, right? So you can see Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi just said that you can make a Beis Knesset into a Beis Medrash, right? So clearly that one is bigger. So that's what it would refer to by the Beis Gadol. Okay, fine. If they sold Sifrei Torah, so you can't take, let's say, Sifrei Nach or whatever. So you better ask the following question. Are you allowed to sell an old Sifrei Torah to buy a new Sifrei Torah? It's given to Lomalilei Oser, since Malam Bakodesh Lomoridin, but you can't go equally, right? You're allowed to go up in holiness, but not. And not down, implying that you shouldn't really go equal either. I mean, you shouldn't sell something to the that's on the same level, right? So Odom or maybe came to Lekal Iluya Achrina Shabbardami. Well, you can't get any higher than a Sefer Torah, right? Any Hanami, that if you're selling lower Kedusha things, that you shouldn't stay level, but you can't get higher than a Sefer Torah, so maybe you can sell a Sefer Torah to buy another Sefer Torah. Like Mark says, Tashma, I'll bring a proof. I will Machru Torah Loichus Forums. We had said in the Mishnah that if you sell a Sefer Torah, you shouldn't buy a regular Sfarim, regular Sefer Nach. So Mark says, Sfarmu Dulo. Right, this is apparently you're not allowed to buy Sfarim, but the implication is HaTorah B'Torah Shapir. You are allowed to buy Sefer Torah. Shapir Dami. So Gemara says, Mesnizim Di'evit. No, our mission is talking about b'diavad, about ki kamayil and lechachila. The question is whether you can do it lechachila, right? Not after the fact, right? But lechachila straight away, right? Cannot be the original plan. Tashma will bring me another proof. Golan and sefer Torah b'metapchos chumashim, b'chumashim b'metapchos neviim uksuvim. Avelo neviim uksuvim b'metapchos chumashim, b'lo chumashim b'metapchos sefer Torah. If you have a cover, let's say you know a Torah cover, are you allowed to cover a wrap, right, a sefer Torah with other coverings? Let's say you have a, you know, the only thing we really have nowadays, we have a Sefer Torah, and then we have the Sefer Nach, which you read the Haftorah from in some places in Eretz Yisrael, and I guess some places in Chutz La'aretz also, but I think it's more prevalent in Eretz Yisrael. Anyway, so are you allowed to wrap, right, one with the other? So you're allowed to wrap a Sefer Torah with one of the lower other types of wrappings, right? But you're not allowed to wrap, let's say, a Nach, with a one of the wrappings, one of the covers of a Sefer Torah. And Katanimias, right? And with the point that we're trying to point is that Golan Sefer Torah Metachos Chumashim, you're allowed to wrap a Sefer Torah with a covering that was just for one Chumash, right? They used to have books that were just one Chumash, right? We have obviously our Torahs are all five books, and that's obviously what we read from. But I guess they used to have, right, single scrolls that were just one Chumash. Okay, so you're allowed to use that covering to use it wrap Sefer Torah, but apparently Metachos Chumashim and Metachos Sefer Torah lo. Apparently, you're not allowed to use the covering of another Sefer Torah to wrap the Sefer Torah. This Gemara says, "Im a Sefer," but the implication is the other way from the Sefer. Right? V'lo chumashim b'tachos Sefer Torah. You're not allowed to wrap a chumash with a Sefer Torah cover. Right? Hatorah b'tavu shaper b'dami. But you are allowed to wrap a Torah with another Sefer Torah cover. So Gemara says, "Yeah, ela meha lekel mashma." Like, no, you can't learn anything from this one. So the Gemara says, "Tashma." I'll bring you a proof. Another proof. If if halacha we're pretty familiar with it, in terms of when you put Svarim one on top of the other, or you can put a Torah on top of a Sefer Torah al Gabi, you can put one Torah on another, and a Torah you can put on Chumash. Let's say you only had one book, right, of the Chumashim, right, and you can put a Chumash on top of Tanakh, of a law, but not the opposite, right? Nevi'im k'suvim agavi Chumashim, Chumashim agavi Torah, right? So apparently you see that you can put a Sefer Torah on another Sefer Torah, so maybe you can sell one Sefer Torah for another. So Kamar says, Hanacha kamarta? Well, no, hey, what do you mean? You're putting one book on top of the other, therefore you can tell me that you can sell one Sefer Torah for another. So Hashani Hanacha to Lavsha? No, what do you mean? Sometimes you don't have space and you don't have a choice. So you got to put one on top of the other. You have a bookshelf, right? What goes on top? That's at the end. And sometimes it's just not possible for you to separate. Because if you don't tell me, if you wouldn't say that. So Michr Hechi Kachinan, right? How do you ever roll a Sefer Torah? Right, the Torah is on top of the Torah, right? By definition, the scroll is on top of the other parts of the scroll. So, right, one page is on top of another page. No, Ela came into Lolev Shar Shari. So therefore, since it's impossible, it's mutter, and you got to figure out something to do. So therefore, Hachanami came into Lolev Shar Shari. So too over here, by the case of putting one book on top of another, right, you're stuck. You got to put something on top of the other. So therefore, something you have to have some sort of order, but it doesn't necessarily mean whether you can sell an old Sefer Torah and buy a new one. Tashma, I'll bring another proof. Tamar Rebbe Baruchan Amar Yochanan Mishum Rishim Gamliel. Lo Yimkor Adam Sefer Torah Yashan Likuch Bo Chadash. It seems to be pretty straightforward, right? Rishim Gamliel says you can't sell an old Sefer Torah to buy a new one, so that should do it for us. Squar says no. Hasa Mishum Shius. No, that case is because we're concerned that you may be poshea. Right? If you look at Rashi, Shema Mishayimkor Shuv Lo Yikna. Right, if you sell it and then the money's lying around, then you'll be like, oh, I'll use the money for something else. Right, we're concerned over there that you'll not do that. But Kikamina and our Shiloh over here, though, is Kigon Dichtivu Manachap Leifrake. Meaning you're ready to buy the second book, the second Sefer Torah. Right, you're ready it's sitting there, waiting to be bought, and you want to sell your old one to upgrade to get a new one. So that's the question. So therefore, it's not going to be a pshia, you're not going to not use the money, right? Literally, right, the transaction's right here. So what's the halacha? So Tashma, bring another proof. Tam Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Meir. A mochin Sefer Torah, el lomo Torah, v'lisa isha. Right, the only thing you're allowed to sell Sefer Torah for is to learn Torah and to marry a woman. So, Shma Mina, apparently you see, Torah v'Torah, Shaper Dami. Maybe that works out, right? Because you're allowed to lomo Torah, to learn Torah. So Gemara says, well, that's not a great comparison. You could have learned from the other one. Delma shiny limud shahal Maybe, no, that's different. Learning Torah is different because maybe you need to sell it for a teacher because learning may bring you to be doing, right? And Ishanami, so to a woman, lo so uberal, Shabbat Tzitzara, right? It's a mitzvah, not peru, but to populate the earth. So that's very chashuv, avot Torah, but Torah lo. But maybe that doesn't necessarily tell me that you can sell one Torah for another. Meaning maybe if you're talking about selling the Torah to learn, meaning to hire a Rebbe or to go to yeshiva, whatever, so maybe that's what we're talking about. But it doesn't necessarily tell me that you can learn, sell one Torah to buy another one, so therefore the Gemara does not really resolve it. Okay, Torah Rabbanu Leder Reis. Lo Yim Ka'odam Sefer Torah Avol Pisha Ein Tzorich Lo. A person's not allowed to sell Sefer Torah even if he doesn't need it. Yes, sir. By the way, Agav, you'll end up finding a need for the Sefer Torah. If you have a Sefer Torah lying around, so chances are somebody will need a Sefer Torah at some point. Certainly in the days of Corona when we had these outdoor minions, right? For sure, everybody who had any type of small, tiny Sefer Torah, I laid out of a minuscule, hard-to-believe Sefer Torah for like 6 months, at least. It was really almost impossible to see. It was whatever. Anyway, so yeah. So don't you shouldn't sell a Sefer Torah even if you don't need it. Yes, sir. Okay. Not only that, but Amar Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Afilu Ein Lo Mayochal. Even if you have no food, Umachas Sefer Torah, and you sell a Sefer Torah, Obito, or you sell your daughter as the Torah stipulates. She can work as a servant, and then you get money, whatever. Eno rola simon bracha leolam, right? You're not going to see simon bracha from that money, with that exact money. Obviously, if you got to eat, you got to eat, and you'll stay alive. But you're not going to see a simon bracha because that's not that should be the last resort as we, in terms of making some money. Okay, b'chein b'mosreim. We said so too with any leftovers of the money that is sold, right? If you sell a base of medrash or a base of knesses or other things or whatever, right? The same halachos apply to any leftover cash. So Amar Rav, Rav says, Lo shna ela shemachru v'osiru. That's only if you sold it and there was leftovers, right? Obviously. But the question is, right? That's obvious. Avo gavu v'osiru, but if let's say you collected money, let's say you were raising money for Sefer Torah, Baruch Hashem, you got some wealthy friends, and instead of raising, I don't know, $100,000, you ended up with, $1.50 or whatever it is. So then, Motus, then the extra $50,000, then you're allowed to do with it whatever you want. So Esvei Abaye, so Abaye asks the following question, but the price says, when does this apply? Now, what are we talking about? That you should only buy things that are holier, right? Shalo hiznu. That's only if there's no tnai. That's only if it was just a straight up, like the straight up sale. Aval hiznu, but if there's some sort of tnai, I feel the duchsuksia mutter. But you can even buy a duchsuksia. And the Gemara is going to ask what that is, right? We'll talk about that. You're going to see that's going to be messengers in the city carrying out like letters and messages and stuff. Right? Meaning it's just a mundane. It's just an example of something that's totally mundane. So if they made a tnai, so you can even use that money. So the Gemara says, "Hey, Chidami, what's the case?" Right? If the case is where you sold whatever it was, a shul, I don't know, and you had leftover money, kiyes nu mahavi. Right? What do you mean? If you made it tonight, who cares if they made it tonight? Right? It doesn't help because we just said. As you pointed out, right? It has to be used for the kedusha that it, of the level whatever was sold. Ella, rather, must be shegavu v'osiru, that they collected money and they had leftovers. And only the only reason you're allowed to use it for whatever you want is time of the hisnu. It's only if there's a tanai. Halo hisnu lo, but if there's no tanai, then you're not allowed to use it for anything. So how can you tell me that if you collected money, you have leftovers, you can use it for whatever you want. You have to make a tanai for that. Somebody says lola no. The case is shemachu v'osiru. The case is where you sold it. Really, it's not where you gathered money and you had leftovers. It's really you sold it in the leftover. Didn't you mean, doesn't that money, didn't we learn already that money acquires by the same kedusha as whatever you sold? This is what I meant to say. Meaning, this is what we explained when it said Loshna. That's only, meaning it keeps the same kedusha status if there was no tanai by the seven. Right, again, the people in charge of the city, as we had earlier, Sefer, right? But if everybody made it tonight, that's even mutter to sell it for something to use the money for as mundane as duchsusia. Abaye asked one of the guys who's learning Torah, learning Masnizim, Mishnayos in front of Rav Sheshes, Mishmilacham Rav Sheshes, my Duxusia. Did you hear Rav Sheshes explain what Duxusia is? So Amar Lai, he said to him, Haki, Amar Rav Sheshes, Parsha de Masa. Like a messenger, right? A dude driving around, to take letters and messages from people. Okay, fine. And therefore, Amar Abaye, therefore, Abaye says, Right, if there's a Talmud Chacham who heard something, or some sort of word that he didn't know what it meant, right? If you remember, we had a couple of words earlier in the Sechta that he learned from the maidservant in Rebbe's house, and an Arab, to ever explain this a couple of words, right? So if you don't ever hear something that you don't know what it means, the Shaila Kameh the Shriach Kaman Rabbanan, that makes sense. You should go to someone who always visits, always hanging out by the Rabbanim, to Lo Efshar Vilo Shmir Leim in Gavarab, because it's impossible that he would not have heard the interpretation of that word or that concept, right, from a great man. Am Rabbi Yochanan Mishim Rabbi Meir, right? He said, B'nei Ha'ir Shahal Kulir Acheras Upasko Aleim Tzedakah. If people wanted to travel to another city and they Pasko Aleim Tzedakah, they went out and they made a sort of tzedakah tax, meaning the rabbanim or the tax, the tzedakah collectors in that city, went door to door collecting from all the people in the city. I guess they had a situation or whatever. So what they can do is, nosten, they can give the money, right? If you look at Rashi, oso legabai osa ir, kadesh liyechashdem beposkim she'enum nosnim, right? You don't want to be suspected as someone who doesn't, who gets asked for tzedakah and doesn't give, so you can give the money, but ukshein bayin, when they come back, meaning when mevino so imayim ufarnizem ba anshe iron, aniye iron, but then you can go and get the money back, and then you can give that money tzedakah for your own city, right? Again, one of the concepts in tzedakah is that you should give the people in your city or in your close circles, right, money that they take precedence over people in other cities or in other circles. So you can give the money to the gabbai, or just tell him, by the way, I'm leaving in a week, and I'm going to take that with me, right? And then that money obviously is earmarked for tzedakah, but you should give it to the people in your city. Tanya mehachi also in the price up. Bnei ha'ir shalchol ir acheres upasko leim tzedakah. Right, nosten, right? Again, same, pretty much same price. So if you go travel somewhere else and someone they ask you for tzedakah there, you can give it. Ukshein bayin, but when they come back to their own city, mevino soimayim, right? You can bring it with you, right? And then and give it to the people in your city. And if it's a single person, right, one guy who went to another city, Pasko Alav Tzedakah, and they asked for Tzedakah, Sinasa Nainie O Sahir, right, and you should go, you should give to the people in that city. Meaning the difference, meaning, one second, meaning that is that, so meaning that's a group. Meaning, but if you're by yourself, so then that money should stay in the city. Meaning, what we said all about taking the money back, that should be a group. But if one guy, right, he should go give the money wherever he is. Okay, fine. And a pashas is because one person becomes, right, kind of like, you know, subsumed in the city. But if you have a group of travelers, right, so they're kind of like their own entity, you know, they should take the money back and give it to their city. Okay. Fine. Rav Huna Gazar Tarnisa. Rav Huna decided that there should be some sort of fast, right? I guess Pashas is from Tainis, there's a drought or whatever it is. There's no water. There's no rain. So Al Gabe Rav Chana Bar Chaniloi V'chol Bnei Masia. So Rav Chana Bar Chaniloi and all the people of Masia, right, went to hang out, right, with him. Right? I guess they came to daven or whatever, right, to be part of the fast. And Rambo Olah Tzedakah. So it's part of the fast, right? He made sure that they would give some tzedakah. V'yavu, and they gave him. Sure enough, they gave him. Kibo L'Meisei, when they went to leave, so Amrulei, they said to him, so Noswal Anmar V'Nezal V'Nefarnes Ba'an Aniyei Masin. Right? He said, give us back our money, and we'll go give the money to the people at tzedakah in our city, like we've been learning. So Amrulehu, so Rav Huna said back to them, no. Tanina, we learned in a Raisa, right, that B'med Varim Amurim, when do we say that you get your money back and you give it back to the people in the city, right, B'she'ein Sham Chaver Ir, right, if there's no Chaver Ir, meaning there's no Gadol Hador, for lack of better, right, words, right, Rashi said, Tamach Chacham, I'm asking if it's Erchid Zibor, right, Gadol Hador is taking care of the needs for the masses, Aval Yishem Chaver Ir, but if there is somebody in charge like that, so Tinas in the Chaver Ir, you should give it to the person in charge, right, so because he's the one who's being misadir things, he's setting up the town's affairs. For Kolzik, and certainly, right, and certainly, I'm in charge of your poor people, right? Apparently, Rav Huna had more than one city under his auspices, right? He said, I'm in charge of your poor people, so the money's going to stay with me, right? And I'll give it out. You know, you guys don't have to worry about it. Okay. A couple of missions now here. Quick hitting. Aim Mokrin Eschel Rabim Leachid. Mayor says you shouldn't sell a shul that's from the masses to an individual. His pasha's going to use, let's say, for his own davening, Right, so people have these big mansions with their own, with a shul inside of it. Well, I forget who it was. Somebody, some sort of crazy, you know, sports figure bought this massive mansion in Miami. And I feel someone sent me a clip, and apparently he had like a shul in his basement. Even though he was a guy, but I forget who it was. Anyway, you shouldn't sell a shul to an individual because it brings it down from his holiness. Well, if that's true, you shouldn't transfer a shul from a big city to a small city. If you're telling me it's go from, you know, a lot of people to little people, then you also shouldn't transfer shuls between cities. Of course, the shepherd come later about another b'meir. It's a pretty good. That's a pretty good argument. Right? Why do we restrict it only from rabbim to yachid? Right? It should also be from big town to small town. So Rabbi Meir, Meir Gedol, Yerkatana, Meikara, Kedisha, Hashtanami, Kedisha. Because Rabbi Meir holds that, yeah, okay, if you sell it, a shul, let's say you move a shul from, I don't know, from New York to, I can't think of a good example, to Albany, right? A small shul, a smaller city, right? So it's still a Kedisha, it's still Kaddish, it's still a base Knesset. You still have Minyanim, Shabbos davening, right? You know, Kedusha, etc. Rabbin Liyachid, but if you sell it for a place where they can have a Minyan, and then you're going to sell it to a guy who's just going to daven there by himself, so like a Kedusha. So then you're losing, right, some of the Devarim Shebe Kedusha, right, and that's what he's talking about. For Rabbanan, so what did Rabbanan say to that? So he ikel mechash ke'agavna, nami ikel mechash mishum v'ravam adras malach. He said, yeah, well, okay, if you're going to be concerned for going down from, let's say, a minion to not a minion, you should also be concerned for the concept of v'ravam adras malach. That if you have 1,000 people in a shul and 100 people in a shul, that's a different type of, different quality Kedusha, different quality davening. Okay. Ain mochur based achnesis el al tanai. You can only sell a shul if there is a stipulation. She'im yirtu, that if they want, if the sellers want, yachziru, that they can get it back. Right, divrei Rabbi Meir. They will give that this. What's it called? Will get it back. Meaning the people who bought it. Let's say you sell it to a different town, so the people can buy it back and get it back from and use it for whatever they want. Meaning and use it again as a shul. The chachamim say mochnos amem karolam. Right, no, you can sell it for anything. Right, to chutz except me arba dvarim, for four things that are debasing and demeaning for the structure. The merachatz for a bathhouse, the borsiki for a tannery, to make leather. The tevila for a mikvah. For a mikvah. Okay, yeah. Ulebe samayim, and for a house of water. What is that? Rashi says two possibilities. Either the kvisa, a laundromat, inami, the base mayor claim, or one big urinal. Okay, fine. Rabbi Yehuda says, mochanos, l'shem chotzer. You can sell it for, and he says, it's not your problem. Meaning, you sell the shul for a chotzer, for a courtyard, velukeach, mashi yirtze, yasa. And then it's on the buyer to do whatever you want. Okay, so the Gemara says, a technical question. According to Rabbi Meir, right, the first thing he said is that you only sell the shul on condition that if the buyers want, if the sellers want, rather, that they can bet it back. They can get it back. So, the problem is, like this. Right? What are you going to do? You can sell it to a guy, right? He's going to live there. Right? And then they're going to be like, you know what? We didn't want that shul back. So give it back. So no problem. So let's say they sold it for $1 million. So the guy will give $1 million back. And they'll get their shul back. Problem is, havili ribis. That ends up being ribis. Because let's say you sold the shul to a guy. And after a decade, the people who sold the shul want the shul back. So no problem, right? The people who got the money will give back the $1 million to the guy, right? And the guy will give back the shul. Problem is, right? What happened? Then the money turns into a loan, right? If it's just a straight sale, so fabulous. The guy gets the shul and the people get the $1 million. But once the people give the $1 million back, so then the guy essentially lent these people $1 million for, let's say, a decade, as we said. And then when he gives it back, so he is now getting back the $1 million plus he's gotten to live 10 years in the shul, which, I don't know, he converted to a house or whatever. But that's ribis. That's, you know, again, a standard case of ribis is you loan me four and I pay you back five. So the lender gets something back. So the guy who essentially lent the $1 million for 10 years, he's getting back the $1 million plus he benefited the 10 years of living in the shul. So that's a problem. That's a sort of ribis. Rabbi Meir, b'shitas Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir is holding like Rabbi Yehuda. What sheet is that? The Amar who says, Tzad echad beribis moter, that one side of ribis is moter. What does that mean? So it means is that if there's a transaction that may or may not lead to ribis, meaning that there are two or several possible outcomes from the transaction, and only one of them ends up where there's a ribis in the transaction, so then it is actually moter. It's not actually considered to be ribis. What does that mean? Meaning there are two possibilities here. When they sell the shul, either the shul stays this guy's house forever and nobody asks for it back, or right, the people who sold with them right, ask for it back. Right? So only in the case where they ask for it back is it going to turn into ribbis. So that's only one possibility. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda, that is motor. The Tanya is within the Braisa. And again, this is just the Braisa that shows that Rabbi Yehuda holds that Tzad Echad Beribbis is motor. If you lend your friend 100 bucks, and you use your field as collateral, if the seller is eating the fruit, using the field, so motor, so that's totally fine. But if the guy who's taking the money, if he's eating the fruit, so then that's also that's a problem. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no, even the guy, if the buyer is eating the fruit, that's mother. Because again, there's two possibilities here. What's going to happen? Either right, the guy pays him back the 100 bucks, or right, he lives on the field, right? So the two possibilities in the result of the thing, in the result of the transaction. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda is going to say right, that it's going to be totally fine. One second. Sorry, just to explain a little better. Meaning, let's just read it a little further in a second, as we'll see. And then we'll come back and explain a little bit better. Rabbi Yehuda said, Maizba Baitus Ben Zunan, right? There's a story about this guy, Baitus Ben Zunan. He sold his field to the guy who he was borrowing money from, right? Al pi Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, right? Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was the one who arranged it. And the guy, the buyer, meaning was taking the produce from the field, right? So that shows that Tzadech HaBaribis is Moter. Right? So now Merlo, they said back to him, Mishamraya, no, that's not a proof because Mocher Ocho Perizaya, Velokech. No, in that case, it was the seller who was using the field to benefit and not the buyer. I was thinking of my Nahu, and what's the machlokas between the two of them? Tzadech HaBaribis Yigivanayu, right? The question is whether if the transaction may not necessarily lead to ribis, then is it going to be mutter? Right? Marsa with Tzadech HaBaribis mutter. Marsa HaBaribis is also the review that holds that it's mutter. The Chachamim hold that it's also. Again, just to explain the case a little bit better. Right? I have no shem b'chaveru mana. Right? If a person is lending his friend. 100 a month is 100, right? 100 dinarim, I guess, whatever. And then he's meaning to kind of show that he's serious, right? He sells his field to the guy he borrowed the money from, right? And the tenai is that if obviously the loan, meaning it's a collateral, and the concept is if the loan is not repaid, so the field, meaning the guy who's not in the money keeps the field. So meaning. If the seller, meaning the guy who's in debt, right, the mocher is the guy who really means the guy who gave the other guy the field, right, the guy who's borrowing the money, right. So if he's using the field, so it's really his field, so then everything is mocher, right. It's not gonna result in the lender getting more produce, because what happens when he gives the money back? So he gives the 100 the money back, and then he hasn't been the lender hasn't been using the field the whole time, so therefore he's just lending him 100 and getting back 100. But if the lender is getting the produce of the field at the same time, right? So then that's going to be a problem, because if he gives the money back, so then he's going to be getting the money plus use of the field. If he defaults on the loan, then he gets the field and he keeps it, and then in that case, there's no ribbis. That's the two possibilities. That if he defaults, then the field stays in the seller's possession, therefore there's no ribbis. But if he gives the money back, and then the guy who lent the money, the lender, has been using the field the whole time, so then he's getting his money, his 100 bucks back, and plus the use of the field, and that's going to be ribbis. Okay, fine. Back in the Gemara, Rava, Amar Rava says, "Dekuli alma tzadech ribbis ozer." Actually, no. This, everybody holds, right, again, even Rabbi Yehuda holds, right, and we started by saying that Rabbi Meir holds like Rabbi Yehuda, but Rava says, no, that doesn't work, because Rabbi Yehuda even holds that tzadech ribbis ozer. V'hacha, what's the machlokes over here, between the, in terms of the field, ribis almanas the haxir igirinayo. The question is, right, can, if you make a tznai that you return the ribis, right, that if meaning on condition, right, it shouldn't, again, if you're gonna, let's say the guy pays back the loan, right, so then are you allowed to take ribis that he's gonna give it back? Marsav ribis almanas the haxir motor, umar sovar, then again, if you, meaning, machlokas is whether if you can you return the value of the ribis that you took? Meaning that's, can you undo ribbis? I mean, that's basically the machlokas over here. And Rabbi Yehuda would say that it's mutter, meaning you can take ribbis on the condition that if it turns into ribbis, you give it back. The Chacham would say, no, that returning ribbis doesn't help. And that's why they would aser the lender to use the field in that case. Okay, if that was a little convoluted, right? We'll get to that, not next year, but in a couple of years when we get to what was it, Bava Metzia? I forget already where those sugyos are. Right, middle of Bava Metzia. Okay, weiter. The Chachamim Omer Mokhen Oso Mimkar Olam. The Chachamim say you can sell a shul right forever. I'm going to review that. Mishmuel Mutal Adam Lahashtim Mayim Mitoch Dalad Amos Shal Tefillah. A person allowed to go to the bathroom is allowed to urinate within Dalad Amos where someone davened. So I'm Rav Yosef Mike Mashmalan. He says, what do you mean? What are you teaching me? Tanina, we've learned that already. Rav Yehuda Omer Mokhen Oso L'Shem Chatzer V'Lokeach Mashir Tziyase. Right, you can sell a shul right and for the guy for whatever he wants. Right, and the guy can do whatever he wants for it. Filo Rabban Lo Kamri elevates the Knesses. Right, the Kviya Kedushase. And the Chachamim only say that it's not allowed to be used as a, what do we say, a Beis Hamayim, right, for a urinal. That's only if it's a Koveya Kedusha. But a random place in the middle of nowhere, the Lo Kviya Kedushase, lo, right? It doesn't say that anywhere, let's side of the road where somebody dive and all of a sudden you can't urinate there. That doesn't make sense. So Tana Kaveh Rav Shmuel, no, Tameh Rav Shmuel, Tameh Rav Nachman, We taught that if someone who davens right, should walk away dalad amos and then go to the urinate, and someone who urinates should walk away dalad amos and then go daven. So Amar Lei, so he said back to him, right, so meaning Rav Nachman said back to this guy who was teaching the Mishnah, I don't understand. One second. Bishlama, I get it when you have a case of Hamashni Marchik Dalad Amos Mispalo, that someone who wants to urinate, he should go Dalad Amos away and then daven. But because Danina, right? Kama Yarchik Min Mehenu Minatsoa, how far Dalad Amos? How far do you have to go from urine feces before you daven? You'd have to be for Dalad Amos. But what's the case? What's the other thing you said? Hamispal Marchik Dalad Amos Mashtin, someone who davened, right, should go Dalad Amos away and then urinate. So lovely, what's the point? Right? What do you mean? Right, if that's true, meaning that there was a place where you davened, and you need to be Dalad Amos away from a place where you davened. So it's a Kashinu L'Kuli Shvili D'Narada. So then all the streets in Narada, where people for sure have davened, right, at some point, right, you get stuck on the side of the road, right, you can't urinate anywhere. So Gemara says, Tani Yisha. Really know that he should wait the time it takes to walk Dalad Amos and then go to the bathroom. It doesn't mean that any time someone davens in a certain place, that makes it a permanent kedusha, you're not allowed to urinate there. That's not what it means. It means that if you have to go to the bathroom right after you daven, so you should wait the time it takes to walk Dalad Amos. So Gemara says, Bishlam Amashin, meaning that you should change that brisa that we said, right, that both ways, that if you daven, you have to wait to urinate. If you urinate, you have to wait to daven. So that should be, that's what it means, both ways, that you should wait, not that you should walk a distance away from this said place. Skumar says, I still don't understand both statements. I understand if someone urinates, you should wait the amount of time it takes to walk Dalad Amos before you daven, because Mishum Nitzotzos, because you have some sort of residue, some sort of right, leftover drops, right, from the urinating, that's not appropriate, right, but, you know, to daven in that fashion. Elam is probably Yisha, Kedihiluk Dalad Amos, but if you're davening, right, if you finish davening, right, why should you wait the amount of time it takes to walk Dalad Amos to go to the bathroom, right? Lamali, what's the point of that? So Rav Ashi, says, Shekol Dalad Amos, Tfiloso, Zedur B'Thiv, Veruchushe, Marakshan, Sifvase. Because anytime, right, again, while a person, halavai, this should be true, but if for Dalad Amos, I mean, how long does it take to walk Dalad Amos? Dalad Amos is about 6 feet. So let's say for the next few seconds after you're done davening, right, you're still kind of thinking about it. You're still talking about it. You're still kind of, your lips are moving. It literally says, Ruchushi Ruchashin, right? Marchashin Svase, right? Your lips are moving. You're kind of still involved in the davening, so you shouldn't just urinate right afterwards, right? Because you're still kind of involved in the davening. Okay, we'll stop here. Have a great day or night, depending on where you're listening to this.